This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
My name's Bob, and I'm glad you guys are here tonight! Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. Those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast, we want to welcome you all.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 397 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Welcome back to the show. On this week, we have Sam's trip report. He visited Walt Disney World this past week. Hey, Sam, how are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for the introduction, Melissa. This is awesome. Back from a Walt Disney World trip that was originally planned as a family trip in June of 2020. And here we are. The first week of July 2021. And we finally made the trip. It's a year later, but we got there.
I think this was a perfect time for you to go. And you're going to get into all those reasons because there were some things that were starting to open up while you were there.
It was a unique time to go. And Ed and I overlapped a little bit. So I'm sure he's going to talk about it. But here's sort of what was happening that last week of June 2021. So we were there for 10 days, split the stay. We'll talk about that in a minute. Started at Coronado Springs and ended up at the boardwalk, which is, we'll get there. But it's a time when they still had caps on capacity in all of the parks, but they were slowly, during our trip, taking down all of the social distance markers, taking down the plexiglass on rides. And by the time it was over, the rides were at 100% capacity. So they were filling every row of Small World, filling every row of Pirates, but they were limiting how many people were coming into the park, which means I may have experienced some of the shortest lines ever. Although physically they were long, they went fast. And this probably isn't very likely what you will find the next time you go to Walt Disney World. But it's cool to be able to talk about it and have experienced it because I did not go at all during COVID. This entire time we're out, and I'm so happy I didn't have to wear a mask all day in the parks.
I'm so glad you had such a magical time. It sounds like a great period, and I'm really excited to hear about your trip.
So here's one of the cool parts, and I think I mentioned it on a previous show. Flower and Garden Festival was still happening. And how cool is that? The Flower and Garden Festival going on in June, right? And by the way, they're already going to be moving that over to the Food and Wine Festival, which starts in July. There's only a week between them. So we're festivals all the way through here. But the cool part was I was able to, you know, buy one of the drinks in a booth and drink it while I'm walking to the next one. And that's really all I wanted to get out of this. And we've talked about that on shows before. So I am extremely happy to be able to do that again and not have to, you know, wear my mask, get to a place, take it off, and there were a few people wearing masks, but not many, which is okay.
Yeah, to enjoy that. So how did you get there this time?
Yeah, so we flew. You're still wearing masks in the airports. So let's make sure everybody knows that, right? That regardless of what any state is doing, as soon as you get onto that airport grounds, your mask's going on and it's not coming off until you leave baggage claim at MCO. So until you're outside at MCO, your mask's on the whole time. And that is what it is. I expect it'll stay that way for a while. We arrived with a family who it was their first time, which I had mixed feelings about, Melissa, because I knew there were things not happening and it was their first time there. So you want to show somebody the fireworks. You want to be able to watch Festival of Fantasy Parade. But I think that it might have worked out okay because it's so overwhelming with everything else. We forget about it going to Walt Disney World all the time, right? But I think that they were overwhelmed with things and want to go back. So that's even a better reason to do.
So actually, the fact that they want to go back, you did it right.
That's right.
You've turned them into a Disney nerd.
I used some advice that Jimmy had shared before. Jimmy, of course, is one of the travel agents here for the show. And we got a limousine to get from the airport to our resort, which was kind of cool. You know, you can get an 8-passenger limo. And if you have 4 couples, the cost is only about $40 a couple when you add that up. But it was kind of cool, and the kids' first time, so they enjoyed it. So we got a limousine transfer from MCO over to Coronado Springs is where we started our trip.
How was Coronado? Were things pretty open for the restaurants and so the refurbishments nice?
That's a great question. Because if anything, I mentioned the attractions and they're open, they're at full capacity. It's clear to me that as of the end of June 2021, Disney, it does not have the staff that they need to have other things open that need to get opened. And we'll talk about this in some of the parks, meaning some of the counter services were clearly understaffed. The facilities at Coronado were not all opened. The facilities at other resorts are not all open. And I don't think this is a Disney problem, so I don't want to paint it that way. I think this is a new normal for vacationing in the summer of 2021, needing to reach out to where you're going and asking the question, are all of your restaurants open? Because they have rooms available, they may not. So for example, at Coronado, the Maya Grill was not opened. The Tolado's Tapas House on the top of the Destino Tower was not open. There were limited hours on other things. So it wasn't all open, but the swimming pool was open. It was great. And I think it's a theme that sort of carried through other parts of the parks. And I'll jump to Magic Kingdom very quickly because at the time, Casey's wasn't opened. It is now. The Main Street ice cream parlor was not open, which was a big letdown. So we got ice cream at the Friar's Nook. So normally there's 4 windows serving ice cream. There was one, and there's one person working and one person making it. So it was a longer, shorter line, but clearly it's because of staffing. I'll also say that pretty much every attraction, every place we were, there were people being trained. So clearly they're getting people back on staff, and it's a temporary thing. And as they open up, they'll get more.
Yeah, that doesn't sound, as we're hearing in other industries or even in the entertainment industry, that's abnormal. I think staffing is pretty difficult for lots of organizations. And so it would make sense for Disney to be impacted. And still good to hear that the magic of your trip wasn't too negatively impacted.
But they're doing
the best they can.
Here's the best way I can describe it. And it's a book that I've read a long, long time ago in the corporate world, which is called Somebody Moved My Cheese, or Who Moved My Cheese is the title of the book, which basically is we as Disney nerds get a very specific pattern when we go there. We do X, Y, and Z, and we do this first, and we do this second, and we know where we're going, and we know where we're headed. And a couple of times in this trip, it was like, okay, now let's do this. Well, this wasn't opened or this wasn't available. So you had to do something a little different. But once you learned the new way of doing things, you were okay again. So it's kind of, I'm comparing us to mice looking for cheese and looking for the attraction and looking for this or that. But it's true. And as you figured it out, for example, mobile order, we've talked about it on the show for years. It's the way to go. Nobody does it. Well, guess what? Now everybody does it because you have to. So it's not the same, hey, let's just order the Dole Whip while we're inside Tiki Room and it's going to be ready when we walk out. It's order the Dole Whip when you're inside the Tiki Room. You come out. Now you got to wait for them to say which mobile order line to get in, line 1, 2, 3, or 4. And when you get in that mobile order line, there's 6 people in front of you. So it's not as quick as it was. So who moved my cheese? But it's okay. It is what it is.
Yeah, so big takeaway, number one, get familiar with that mobile order app and maybe be open to some new experiences.
Some new experiences or new ways of doing it, but it's still Disney magic, yes. And I have to throw shout outs to one of our sponsors, touringplans.com. The Lines app is spot on. The Lines app, if you haven't subscribed to that, is going to tell you the expected wait times. It's going to tell you whether you should ride now or wait to ride, set up your plan, tell it what you want to ride, hit that optimize. Even if you change it, a Space Mountain line, it says 60 minutes. They say it's 25 and we were in line for 26 minutes. even though the sign said 60. So it's, they're definitely much closer than Disney.
Yeah, well worth it.
Definitely.
Speaking
well worth
of
it.
New experiences,
yes.
Anything new that you experienced this trip?
There was a family trip, right? So it was cool to be able to take the family on Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. I did it once right before the shutdown. I got there, not with them, brought them down. And I'm so happy that the pre-show was working for it again. The pre-shows are back. I hear the stretching room's back now. It wasn't when we were there. But there's so much a part of the experience, that pre-show. And Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, I don't know if you've ridden it or not, so I'm not going to spoil anything. But the pre-show is part of the attraction, and I love it. And it was cool to be able to experience that with them.
That's great to hear that that's back. Did you, I think you mentioned in our group chat that there was maybe another pre-show that was a little bit different at Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yes, absolutely. And it was super interesting. So I've been riding Rock and Roller a long time. In fact, I can remember the AP previews for that thing. That's how far back it goes for me. And they used to in the pre-show, there's a part in the pre-show where they say, now I'm going to blank on the name. When Joe Perry says, "Hey, whoever, can you get my black Les Paul?" He calls out a name. And they used to have a guy would walk out in the pre-show, pick up the guitar and walk back out of the door. And it was kind of like, whoa, where'd this guy come from? Right. And I forget what he says during the pre-show when somebody out there right now is yelling, "Oh, come on, Sam, it's this. Yeah, I forget. This time we walk into the pre-show. And by the way, I was filming it because I want to do one of my Sam's Disney Diaries on the Rock and Roller Coaster. And as I walk in, there are four cast members in the pre-show that are sort of like working a table and doing the mixing and working with the and interacting with Aerosmith in the pre-show. It was so cool. I'd never seen that before.
Oh, how fun.
Now, I don't know if that's permanent. I don't know if those were your newbie cast members that are earning their ears and they're going through some type of tradition, or hey, you guys need to watch this all day over and over again so you have it memorized and burned into your skulls. That might be something that they were doing. I don't know, but it was cool to see people in there. And they did the good old, "Hey, can you grab my black Les Paul?" And they picked it up and they put it in a guitar case. They strapped the guitar case down and they walked like they were going to the limo. It was really cool.
That's just one of the fun things about Disney is even as nerds who go many times a year, our annual pass holders, to be surprised like that is what it's all about.
There's one other thing that, you're absolutely right. One other thing I want to mention that's not related to really this trip, but we maybe talked about it when we talked technology in the parks. So I'm a guy that always would have my DSLR, my big camera, right around my neck. And everything you guys have seen pictures of me. I got that big old DSLR around my neck. I'm holding to take the pictures and it's got all the lenses on it and I can get some awesome pictures. This trip, I recently upgraded cameras. I have an iPhone 12 Pro Max. It's the big one with the three cameras. And I got to tell you, some of the pictures I got on dark rides were phenomenal with low light settings. And now here's what I mean. Are you a camera buff at all, Melissa? You got your DSLR or stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can get pictures this good. I can get pictures this good, right? But it takes so long to zoom in and get the settings right and figure out what your ISO is going to be and your aperture setting and all that stuff. This was just automatic pictures and they look so darn good. I'm going, as long as I got the space and I'm connected to my cloud to get those pictures uploaded, man, I really think I got some great pictures with that DSLR that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Yeah, those are some great photos.
I'll share some of those as we go along, but that's, You know what? I do want to mention one thing I was a little disappointed with, and it's pin trading, because my kids love pin trading, and I had heard they're still doing it. Well, they're still doing it, but you have to find a board that's doing a pin board.
Oh, so it's contactless.
It's contactless. In fact, there's a board and there's numbers under the board with a bunch of pins. And by the way, they're hard to find. I can only find a couple of those in parks. Nobody's wearing them on lanyards. I hope this comes back. But what you do is basically find a pin that you like. And if you wanted pin number 27 on the board, you tell them 27. They would, you take the back off of your pin. You drop your pin into a little box that they had because they sanitize it before they put it on the board. And then she takes 27 and hands it to you. So it was, it was okay, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, especially with first time people, by the way.
Are some of the pin boards color coded to reflect that they only trade with like kids, or they trade with everyone, or it's just all?
Trading with everyone. And I know exactly what you're talking about, because we used to look for the yellow one that were under 12.
I think so.
Yeah. The yellow lanyards when you traded pins that only trade with under 12 year old kids. And it was anybody.
Okay.
And some of the restaurants around World Showcase were closed. So, you know, Nine Dragons was closed, and I may or may not have gotten into it to take a picture of the empty facility. I mean, but,
that's a pretty awesome photo, though, to be able to take. It was worth it.
I love Nine Dragons. I really do. The swimming pool was completely open. And I say that because I know previously that you needed to get a reservation during COVID to get a spot at the pool. And that's something that not a lot of people talked about, but you had to, if the swimming pool was at capacity because they took half of the chairs away, you needed to get yourself on a list, and then they would call you back when it was okay to come into the pool. That wasn't the case. It was wide open. Kids had a ball in the swimming pool. That's for sure.
Was that at both resorts then?
That was at both resorts. There was no issue with swimming pool at Coronado or Boardwalk when we moved over to Boardwalk. Awesome. No issues whatsoever.
Speaking of your resort, how did the split stay go?
A great question. Seamless. Absolutely seamless. As we checked out of Coronado, we were not in the tower. We were in a great room, though, not far from the swimming pool at all, and one of the buildings not far from it. I can remember the number. We were in 8A, if you're familiar with the numbers, but I don't remember what the name of it was. The bellhop, call him. Hey, we're checking out today. I need to get my luggage moved. He shows up with his cart. You tell him I'm going to the boardwalk. He says, no problem. Tags all of my luggage. Says you'll see it at the valet. The bellhop at the boardwalk will get it. Give him a little tip. Head over to a bus to Epcot, spend our day at Epcot, walk over in the middle of the day, talk to their bell stand, and my bags are ready to go to my room. So it was that seamless. I really didn't have to do anything.
Oh, just super simple.
Gave them the bell. And I know that works for any of those split stays, and it's very easy, and just take Disney transportation, which I will say, just like everything else that needs more people, they need more bus drivers. And you could tell. It was obvious to me.
Yeah, how were the lines to the buses?
Depending on, and it's interesting because I expected there's no fireworks. There are now. We know that, but there weren't at the time. So I expected no problem. We'll just whenever we leave, there's not going to be a big rush after the fireworks. But there were times when you had to wait quite a while for a bus. It is what it is. I get that. We could have Ubered. We chose not to. You get what you pay for. But I'll also say that there were quite a bit of non-Disney buses picking people up. In fact, they were these Academy buses. The Academy buses were like your they said Academy on the side of them, but it looked like your bigger Magical Expresses that would take you to Port Canaveral, the Magical Express, but they weren't Disney buses and they weren't Mirrors. So it made me think there's something going on between Disney and Mirrors, right? With the whole Magical Express.
They were picking up Disney guests and taking them back to the resorts.
You got it. They were picking up Disney guests, taking us to the resorts, and they were not the traditional Disney buses. But they fit a lot of people in it, and there were a lot of them coming. So I can't complain about it. It just struck me as odd that it was a different type of bus moving people around.
Did those buses, because of social distancing on the bus, did they seem to fit more people than the regular buses, which are more standing room?
They absolutely did. So the traditional Disney bus is what it was. You got the seats on the side, the face in. But when you look at these bigger Academy buses, those things are the size of a regular bus. So they're, number one, there's no second door. There's no putting a chair or a wheelchair in that thing, which could be bad if somebody's waiting for it. But it seemed to sit a lot of people, and they were sitting people in every row. So it filled up quickly. Okay. And there was no rhyme or reason to it. You'd see a Disney bus would show up, and then behind it, you get two of these Academy buses in a row, and then you get another Disney bus. but that's why
yeah,
so it was
maybe it's for capacity. Yeah, just trying to move more people, but still providing the Disney buses for those wheelchair, scooter type needs.
Exactly. I think that was exactly the case. And there were lots of those things happening and going on.
Do strollers get put under those Academy
yes,
buses then?
Or they put strollers under them. That's exactly what they did. For strollers, they picked it up and you threw it under and you went up and you sat down. So it was just like getting a Magical Express to head to the airport or to head to Cape Canaveral, but Port Canaveral for a cruise, which hopefully we're doing sometime soon.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a good offering that Disney is trying to move people because of some of the limitations of the bus. And maybe we'll see those go away as social distancing eases.
Yeah, lots of character cavalcades, right? At Animal Kingdom, the characters were floating on the boats. Winnie the Pooh was by the Butterfly Garden over in Epcot. That was cool to see the characters in those ways. But also something missing for the first-time guests, right? Not being able to get a picture with Mickey Mouse or so. Another reason to go back, but it is what it is.
Did you do any character dining?
We did not do character dining. We did Liberty Tree, which was good. Well, I'm going to take that back. We didn't do character dining, but we did Be Our Guest for lunch, which did have an appearance by Beast during lunch.
Oh, we were just talking about that on a previous episode.
So he was definitely there and he came out and they made a big introduction. The Beast would like to personally greet you and thank you for attending. And he walked through the ballroom and walked through the West Wing. And so he didn't stick around to get any pictures, but he definitely was there and was fun for others to see. I got a little bit of the gray stuff.
Was there any other notable restaurants that you were able to go to?
Liberty Tree, we went to Via Napoli, and I'm blanking on the second restaurant in Italy. And actually, now that I think about it, there was a lot of Italian going on. Via Napoli, I like. Tutto Italia is the other. And we also did, this is kind of funny, four Italian places. Love them all. Tutto Italia, Via Napoli, different days, not the same day. We also did Mama Melrose, only because they couldn't get us into the sci-fi. It was very difficult to get reservations for eight people back when I had to make these reservations.
I was going to ask you about how reservations were going.
For eight people, it was very hard. And after I couldn't get things, Jimmy had suggested you get two fours and then ask them to put you together or next to each other. Those were good. And we also did the Italian restaurant on the boardwalk. And it's the first time that we've done that. And that's my home DVC property, the boardwalk. So you'd think that
likes that for breakfast, right? Is that the Trattoria?
It was a character Trattoria. That's it. It was a character breakfast there with Finn Rider and Rapunzel. We did it for dinner. And I got to tell you, the pizzas were really, really good. They have the big pizza oven in there and they're coal fired and it was really good. And we were staying at the boardwalk. So it was nice to be able to do that. I really enjoyed it.
And during your trip, the ADRs were still 60 days out versus the traditional 180. Is that right?
Yes, they were still 60 out and getting those eights were hard. Also had a great meal at Planet Hollywood. I know it gets a bad rap, but I since Guy Fieri took over, you can't beat some of them burgers. In fact, all right, we had a bunch of pizza. Let's talk about burgers because we I'm the guy that I yell at people when they come back from Disney World and tell me that burgers and fries everywhere. But I had some really good burgers, and let me tell you where. One was with Guy Fieri, right, which was really good. The second was the lunch burger at the Brown Derby, which is an amazing burger. And the other was the Plaza had a really good burger on their menu over in Magic Kingdom. And between those three, I don't know which one I like better. They were all really good burgers or that were done differently. They had different things on them. There's a bacon jam over at Brown Derby, which is really good. I don't know what it is, but it's good. I like it a lot.
The burger that I recall that was the most interesting at Disney, it's on Boardwalk too. It's the brewery that is kind of off towards the, as you're going towards.
It's over by right next to Jelly Bro- right next to Jelly Rolls. Yes.
Yeah. And they have a really good beer cheese soup, but we had a burger, the Wagyu beef that they have there. So if you're looking to try some Wagyu beef, they do offer that on occasion.
I like that a lot. Next trip. That's what's so great about Disney World. Next trip. Exactly. Now, yep. I will say to a couple of those, the menus were definitely limited. This is another who moved my cheese moment, because a lot of times we get very, I want this on this menu. I want this at this place. I'm going to book Tutto Italia because I want the fettuccine Alfredo that they've had there all along. That's awesome. And it's not on the menu. So it's like, who moved my cheese? We got to figure this out, which you'll find something else that you like, but that's one of the moments.
For sure.
One of those things. And there's, remember that camera I had? I'm just liking it a lot.
I say you're showing me some pictures of pirates. I heard there was a little bit of a debacle on pirates while you were there.
It was interesting. So on Pirates of the Caribbean, I actually was live streaming for the Disney Nerds podcast. You guys need to go and find it. There's a live stream of the Pirates of the Caribbean that was 44 minutes long. And it starts with a 5-minute queue where I started talking to the cast member about the 5-minute queue and the fact that it was late. It was later in the day. And we got on the Pirates and we ended up having some issues on Pirates, and they turned the lights on. They stopped the pumps. I got some really cool footage inside of Pirates, but quite the debacle there. And here's what else is funny about this, Melissa, and I don't know if your family's like this or not. As soon as I say I'm going to go live, they run ahead of me. They're like, okay, we'll see you later. Boom, they're gone. They don't want to be in the live stream. So they were 3 or 4 boats in front of me, and I was the first person in another boat on the live stream. They happened to be right behind a boat that had an issue. One of the boats actually jumped off the track. So here's sort of how it worked. And they watched this happen, right? Boat number one is loaded with people to the point where the back of it is pretty low. Boat number two is empty, so it's up pretty high, right? Boat number three, loaded with people. When the first boat goes up at the loading zone where it pulls it up and boat number three hits number two, it pushes boat two on top of boat one.
Oh.
Off the track on top of boat one. Everybody in boat number one got off, no problems. But now you got a boat on top of a boat. And they had no way of doing it other than stopping the attraction, which stopped the pumps, which allowed the boat I'm in, 3 or 4 behind them, it just starts floating backwards with all the lights on.
Gosh.
All the sounds are turned off, and they had to get all the boats pushed backwards so that they could pull it back and push it back on the track. And that took 45 minutes.
I wouldn't have thought you would have moved backwards. I think I would have imagined, like on It's a Small World, I've been stuck on that before, and you all just get pushed forwards to the white room and all jammed up. So it's interesting that you go backwards.
Well, they turned all the pumps off, but I also think that they were pushing that direction. So up in the front.
Maybe they can reverse the water.
I don't think they reversed it. I think they physically pushed it, which pushed the boats. Mm-hmm. And then once you get a little momentum pushing you backwards, you just kind of slid back. But it was interesting to be on the ride when you go into the app and it says, oh yeah, the ride's down.
I am stuck in it.
yeah. You know, speaking of some of the news that we know came out, and we'll talk about news on the next show, but there's a lot of stuff happening over at the Contemporary when it comes to room remodeling and renovations. And when you go into the Contemporary, inside of it, it's just nothing but tarps covering all of the doors on all of the levels inside the A-frame. And it looks really strange to see it that way, but
I kind of like it, actually. As weird as it is, it kind of is neat because your focus goes right to the artwork in the center.
Which I hope they don't change. I hope they don't change. Right. I hope they don't change it, because that is it's iconic. Agree. It's Mary Blair. And we know that they're bringing an Incredibles theme to the rooms, and that's fine. We've talked on the live show before that the next thing we're going to hear about is the Incredible Steakhouse, which is the wave today. They're going to be doing that. And I'm okay with that. Now you got the Incredibles in Tomorrowland. You got Moana over in Adventureland. And who knows what they'll bring to Grand Floridian. Well, Alice in Wonderland they put over there, right?
Yes, I believe so. Or Mary Poppins also.
They theme their swimming pool. They have that second pool that has the teapots in it and the teacups and kind of.
Well, and the Citricross is being rethemed for Mary Poppins.
That's right. I forgot about that opening.
And then they have the Beauty and the Beast lounge on that, the terrace. So they've got a couple of IPs in Grand Floridian right now.
Yep. Which is good. I love that.
Very subtle looking. They're not the like in your face like the All-Stars are, or even Pop or Art of Animation, but the preview to the rooms for Moana and at the Poly are, I mean it's Moana on the wall for sure, but it's a little bit more refined and subtle. It's very tasteful. I enjoy it.
It's not in your face, Mickey Mouse everywhere. It fits the theme. It looks good. And you know what? The kids are going to go, wow, look, there's Moana. Or wow, look, there's Mr. Yeah. Incredible. And that's fine. That's why you're there, right?
Yeah.
I will say the Coronado, all of the rooms were redone when they did the Grandestino Tower. So you got the raised beds where you can put things on the floor, the hardwood floors. The TV is awesome. There at the Coronado, the new TV setup where it has your name on it and the thing's mm-hmm. constantly moving and there's on demand and some Disney Plus stuff. And that's really cool. And it felt like a downgrade moving over to Boardwalk with the old TV setup, but it is what it is.
Now, did you stay with DVC points over at Boardwalk then?
I did at Boardwalk. Yes. One of the things that COVID did is created a backlog of DVC points for me. So I had to use them. So why not?
And that was another piece of news coming out that the Boardwalk Inn, so the non-DVC part of the resort, will open up, I think, middle of this month. Then,
oh, that's great.
Or the beginning of the month. Poly and Boardwalk were opening in July. So, I'll be able to, non-DVC guests will be able to stay over there now.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. We did spend some time in Galaxy's Edge, as you would expect. I ran into friend of the show, Les, over there, who has a doppelganger that used to work over at the All-Star Sports Bar. But he says he doesn't know who the guy is. He just heard about him. So that was kind of cool to say hi to an old friend. They then moved over to the DVC. Like I said, the pizzas were really, really good at the Tortilla on the Boardwalk. Really good. Everybody enjoyed those things for certain.
Did you finally get to have some ice cream at Beaches and Cream?
I did not at Beaches and Cream, but we've talked before on the show about the Boardwalk ice cream shop.
Okay.
Which replaced the now not there anymore Ample Heels. So it's Boardwalk ice cream, just like Boardwalk pizza. And it's right next to Boardwalk pizza, so it makes sense. I think we joked on the show that the Imagineers were gone, so they just named it Boardwalk Ice Cream. It is basically like the Plaza on Main Street.
Okay.
That's kind of stuff, that kind of ice cream, those kind of sundaes. Very, very good, very quick service. And I enjoyed some ice cream with fellow Disney nerd Lisa and her daughter while we were there. So that was pretty cool to see her down there.
Awesome.
Shout out to Lisa. Also got to check out over at Epcot the new Leave a Legacy monuments in the front. This is what was on the tombstones, people called them, that used to be inside. And the reason why they're interesting to me is because my picture's on there. So is my oldest son, myself and my wife and my oldest son. So we tracked those down, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, I love all the color on them is amazing.
It is. It absolutely is. Got to the M&M store at Springs. That was a new experience. Not necessarily, you know, I've been to M&M stores in other places, Vegas or New York City. It's very similar. There's only a couple of Disney things, like the one plastic M&M container that's shaped like Mickey Mouse. And they had a couple of T-shirts, not with Mickey, but with just a Mickey silhouette next to an M&M. Nothing all that fancy, but that was kind of cool.
Speaking of merch, any things that you brought home or new things that you saw there?
I got a couple of things that I brought home. One is my sippy cup from Sippy Cup, right? I'm talking about Sippy Cup from Galaxy's Edge, which is the one that Jabba the Hutt used. It's got the frog down inside of it. So I got one of them. I also was able to snag some Starbucks mugs. We're big on Starbucks mugs. The new versions of them for all of the parks, but I also grabbed the version from Batuu, which, believe it or not, I found in Animal Kingdom. So there is a Starbucks We're Here mug for Tatooine, for Batuu, and for Endor. And of course, I had to grab all three of those, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I love the Endor one.
This is the second wave. The first wave included Bespin. With Cloud City, which is going for a lot of money on eBay, but it's kind of cool. I like the designs. It's the You Are Here mug, and, you know, sure, why not? I'm good with it. We talked about buses. So many cool bus designs down there. It's amazing.
Yeah, the Figment one is just so colorful, summery, really, really interesting design.
There's an awesome Cinderella one. There's a great Galaxy's Edge. Dumbo has a great one. There's just so many cool bus designs. They keep the kids happy looking for buses. So that's always cool.
As you're waiting in line for things, whether it's hidden Mickeys or identifying a new bus, there's always something fun to keep the kids occupied that.
That's absolutely right, and I love it. Oh, one new thing that was interesting that I thought was a great idea, they changed the queue for Buzz Lightyear. So here's what I mean, and I'll try to explain this the best I can because it's hard to without a picture. If you remember, the queue for Buzz would sort of go right past where Buzz Lightyear is, and then you'd go in and you'd ride the attraction on the far end. You'd jump right on it. And there was always an issue because people would jam up there and try to get their picture with Buzz Lightyear, but you'd be running to get on the attraction. Do you know where I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Because you've been there 100 times. You're like, come on, let's go. We got to get on the ride. And people are stopping it. So what they did is they moved the entrance to the other side of that long moving walkway so that there's some switchbacks after Buzz Lightyear before you enter the room for the loading zone. Then you walk all the way down alongside the cars and get on at the far end.
Oh, which interesting. Means
so what they've done is they've eliminated that problem of people bunching up by Buzz to get that picture taken. And it's such a simple move, but it works because there weren't people like, come on. It was all right, get your picture taken, wait a little bit, then catch up to the people in front of you. So they changed the queue. And I thought that was awesome that they could pull something like that off during this.
Smart.
Yeah. Lots of still little pieces of construction happening all over the place. So I noticed that they were changing some concrete around Tomorrowland. So all the gears on the ground that used to be in the concrete are gone now. They've completely replaced them with just plain concrete. So I don't know if you remember, but there used to be gears all over Tomorrowland. And that's most people won't notice that. But you know what? Some people do. I did love touring plans when we were there because of the crowd calendars, ones and twos and threes. That's not the case now in July.
I was going to say, was it looking like for after your trip?
It was sevens and eights. We even checked it when we were there. In fact, my oldest son stayed a little later. How about that?
So you shared a photo of three, I think they're margaritas.
Yes.
You've got it right up on our screen right now.
Yeah.
So where was that and what are they? Because they look great.
This is at Brown Derby. So I had my burger and this is the margarita flight at the Brown Derby. One is blood orange. One is pomegranate. And the other one is the house top shelf margarita. It's a wonderful flight. And my wife did greatly enjoy the margarita flight there. I like my burger and my beer. She liked a margarita plate. But yeah, definitely fun.
So we always get questions about tips and tricks for getting onto Rise of the Resistance. How was your experience? Did you get on it? Or what was your experience trying to get into a loading group?
I will tell you a few things. Yes, I got on it twice. Different days. You can't get it on it twice at the same day. I had zero luck with the 7 a.m. And I'll tell you why. Because I did not properly prepare and I had too many people in my group. So the boarding group opens at 7 a.m. And at 7 a.m. and 30 seconds, they're gone. I mean, when it gets to 7-1, it's too late. So I had to remove people from my boarding, from my list before I could join a boarding group. Then they open it again at 1 o'clock, assuming that Operation of Rise of the Resistance is going well. And every day I was there, they did reopen it at 1 o'clock. Now here's the beauty of 1 o'clock. It will only put people in your group that have a day pass for Hollywood Studios and have physically entered the park. Nobody else shows up.
Okay.
So you can skip that step and literally just swipe your hand when it turns to 1 o'clock and say join. And everybody gets joined. So I got in 1 o'clock on both times that I did it. I was there 3 days. The third day I was asleep at the wheel because I was in, I forget where I was. I forgot to set an alarm for 1 o'clock, so I didn't get in. But yeah, two times, I can't beat that.
That's a good tip for someone like me. I've got a lot of people in my Disney experience because people come with me and, you know, I'm their little tour guide or whatever. And so to go beforehand, clear them out, and then only be able to quickly select those who are actually with me that day could help.
It did for 1 o'clock. But that's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you to take everybody out of your friends and family. I don't want to have to do that. And then I got to go connect to everybody again. Right. So I really think this is temporary. I think they know they have an issue with the virtual queue. The fact that it's gone by 7:01, how many people are going there just to ride Rise and can't get on it? Right. So I think that when we see fast passes return, however they return, or maybe more importantly, when we see Genie, which is the app integrated into My Disney Experience that they talked about at the expo a long time ago that they're still working on, that's going to change all of this. Because remember, Genie, you're supposed to be able to say, I want to ride these six things in the Magic Kingdom. You hit submit, and then they tell you when to come by. It's multiple virtual queues is what you're in. So you'd get an alert in your app that says, it's your turn to ride Peter Pan. Go to the Fast Pass. And you go to the Fast Pass and you enter. Then you'll get another.
Game changer.
It's a game changer. And Disney's working on this. And there's been a bunch of patents for managing multiple virtual queues. But if you think about it, then with the value of a virtual queue versus a Fast Pass has a return time on it. Come back at 1 o'clock. But the problem is, if there's been issues with the attraction, sometimes that 1 o'clock is all backed up. We've all returned to FastPass return line, and it's been longer than the standby because it was down all day. So with the virtual queue and the boarding group, they're able to call boarding groups based on when they think it might be available. So once I got those groups in the app, it would say your expected wait time is 300 minutes. It's like, okay, we got time to go to Muppet Vision. We got time to go to Frozen Ever After or whatever. And we did those other things. And then when our boarding group was called, you basically have an hour to get there from the time they say we're ready for you. Okay. Then you just go right to the Fast Pass line. There is a model of the Star Wars Galactic Space Cruiser over at Hollywood Studios, which is really cool. I did a big video of that, but that's the new Star Wars hotel. That's not a hotel. Don't call it a hotel. It's an experience. It's a cruise ship.
Is that located in the, what is it called? Where the
One Man's Dream.
One Man's Dream. Yes, yep.
It's inside One Man's Dream at the end. There's a model of Galaxy's Edge. I'm not sure why you need a model of Galaxy's Edge because we've seen that, but there's some of those models, and the Hyperion Cruiser is in there as well, which is really cool. I had a good time in time. Olga's. I got the Olga's Cantina, and in fact, I was able to get a walk up for two people, which was kind of cool. So don't give up. It was late in the day, but I was able to get, we have two people. Can you get us? And like, sure, standing room only. They put me on a list, and that was good.
Was Ogle's Cantina the similar ADR system where you're doing 60 days out making a reservation, or is it slightly
It was
different?
The same. Okay. No, it was the exact same thing, but they go very, very quickly. And again, I had problems because of the eight people, but I got in with two, which was cool. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about Flower and Garden because, you know, of COVID and everything else, but the scavenger hunt is always cool at the Flower and Garden Festival, the honey, the Spikes Pollination Expiration 2021. And I got to tell you, the completer gift was awesome. They had some really cool mugs that were, you know, Figment and Buzz the Bee and the Orange Bird. And I had to get all four of them. So I did four scavenger hunts.
Wow, that's awesome. I don't think I've ever seen such a like a notable prize. Usually it's or something.
Or a pin. I've seen pins before. Mm-hmm. For the Easter egg hunt, it used to be an egg. But this was like, I got to do this. This is really cool. So I did.
Yeah.
And it was pretty neat to be there for the Flower and Garden Festival. Get to catch Winnie the Pooh by the butterfly garden, catching the butterflies and putting them in. At least that's what he said he was doing. But it was cute to see.
Did you enjoy any of the food booths at the Food and Wine?
Absolutely, I did.
Food and Wine, Flower and Garden.
Flower and Garden. But the fact that there are food booths is what makes it cool. And absolutely, I did. Some of the highlights for me, the Frushi back in Japan was there again, of course. And I really liked the spicy hot dog in the same booth that does the Dole Whips with rum. I forget the name of it, but it's in the front. It's the Pineapple Promenade. That's what it is. But they do a spicy hot dog with pineapple and plantain chips that I love. I just think it's awesome.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
It's really good. I'm still not quite sure if I'm sold on those huge things floating around in the middle of the World Showcase. Because they clearly block, you can't see across it. You can't take somebody new and, you know, you walk up and you go, oh, and that's France over there. And that's Morocco. You can see across the way and there's Mexico. It's right in the middle. And I'm not sold on it yet, but they're not done. I give them the benefit of the doubt because they're supposed to be fountains at some point. We'll wait and see what happens.
Does it appear that the, each country still is lit up with lights, or were the lights taken down?
So the lights that would have come on, they're still there, but I didn't see them illuminated. But then we weren't there for fireworks. So those have started recently, the fireworks, which, by the way, I'm also told it is Epcot Forever. We hinted that that would be the case on the show previously because they still got fireworks left. But it is without the flags. The flag, the little guys on the thing, you know, that go out at night and have the flags on the kites with the jet skis. And I think part of that's because there's these big, really black things in the middle of the water and they're driving jet skis and they don't want to hit them.
Yeah. It caught up on those.
Yeah, that would not be good. That would not be good. Cool to see. There were a bunch of things going on inside of the World Show Place. There were a couple of booths back inside there, which was kind of cool. And it was nice. Speaking of cool, they were cool, meaning they were not hot. It was very hot just because of when we were there, right?
Right. Were there any classes going on for Flower and Garden?
I didn't see any classes. They may have been in there. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't see any. There was a little bit of work going on at the Bellevue inside of the boardwalk as well, which, I might or may not have taken a picture of. But it was one of those things, like just like at Coronado, at Boardwalk, there were a few things that weren't open yet. And I'm hoping that those have opened up since.
You know, I don't mind that they're taking some of the time to do some of these refurbishments and cleaning things up as they prepare for the 50th anniversary.
That's right.
I think we've seen that Destination D23 is going to be in Walt Disney World this year. So that's going to be another big people coming through. So just seeing the park really spruced up and ready for that big celebration and welcoming back all these guests as we go into fall in 2022. Is really exciting to see.
And that I will absolutely say for all of those things that I said weren't ready, that was all related to, you know, counter service restaurants and things along those lines. From an attraction point of view, things look great, to be honest.
Good.
That changes they made to Buzz. There were little things that we noticed all over that you can tell they were getting ready for the 50th. And the fact that the attractions were ready to roll. I mean, let's face it, during COVID, when anybody would come back, what would they say? They'd say, oh, I got to ride all kind of stuff. They never said, oh, there were no lines for food, because there were. It was sort of a trade-off. So if you were after those attractions, that's great. I'm glad to see things opening back up. In fact, we saw, for example, in Hollywood Studios, the part that was The Incredibles was closed most of the time we were there. And then the last day we were there at Studios, it was opened up, which was kind of cool.
Good. That way, but surely getting there.
We're getting there, and that's so great to see. And the addition of fireworks is just huge. It's absolutely huge.
Absolutely.
Gotta love that.
Well, I'm so glad that you had a wonderful trip and that you had a lot of fun and you got to spend time with the family. Unfortunately, it was a year later, but maybe sounds like it was better because you had some new experiences, once in a lifetime experiences, and really appreciate you sharing those with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for hosting me here tonight. It's always great to be here with you guys and the Disney Nerds. Make sure you check out all of the Disney Nerds assets. And don't forget that YouTube channel, Sam's Disney Diary. It's kind of cool over there. Which, by the way, one of the things I put out there, we were talking about in-room entertainment, the latest must-do Disney. It's all voiceovers now. There's no Stacy on any of it, which was a little odd, but okay.
I did check that out, your blog post, because I was really curious to see that. It's definitely one of the first things I do when we get there is sit down and turn that on. Yep, and but watch the all-new must-do Disney TV.
I think what they're doing, though, because even if you go through it, because right now Blizzard Beach is open, but Typhoon Lagoon isn't. So when you watch it, there's no mention of Typhoon Lagoon. But I think the way that they've constructed it, they could plug it back in. Because all they're doing is voiceover with B-roll. So you could easily plug that in, or you could pull out Blizzard Beach and you could push in, or you can add things to Springs, and which was another big question we have. When is Cirque du Soleil going to come? I can't wait to see that. And Space 220 is supposed to be coming this fall. There's so many more reasons to get down there. Holy cow, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our November meetup.
That's right.
And there'll be so many new things that we don't even know about right now that will be there for the 50th.
That is exactly right. Thanks so much, Melissa.
Well, no, thank you. And so, guys, what questions do you have for Sam on his trip? What trips do you have planned? We'd love to hear them. Jimmy, tell us how to get in touch with us.
That's Jimmy, man. He shows up all the time.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at Ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, Jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
All right, everyone, thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week. For Sam, this is Melissa. We are the Disney Nerds.
Kongaloosh!
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee.